Well, again, such a blessed privilege to be with you all tonight. I appreciate so much Brother Ted fitting the songs so well together with the lesson. I don't think he realized how well they have and will fit together. In particular, the one song that we read just a second ago, "Till the Storm Passes By." We're going to talk about the teen years. And I use that very lightly. Mostly because I'm not there. I've not been through the teen years, but many of you have, and you know the challenges, the unique challenges that come with that age. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, in verse 9, it says this: "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth." And then goes on to say in chapter 12 and verse 1, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days draw near, when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" I mentioned this morning that this is the second to the last lesson in these series of lessons. And I do want to stop and pause for just a moment and say how much I've appreciated doing these series of lessons. Many of you have encouraged me throughout the series of lessons in many different ways, whether it's sending me emails with attached links to listen to sermons on the subject. Some of you have passed me articles. Some of you have just simply passed me information. And it's been such a blessed privilege for me to be able to stand and to teach these lessons, but also learn as I've been going through them. I found out real quick at the beginning of these series of lessons that I've missed it. I've made a lot of mistakes already. Although my children aren't even at the teen years, I've made a bunch of mistakes already. Sins in raising my children already. I've missed it. And I'm grateful. Ben was actually one of the ones that started this in my head, and it progressed through several others. And I'm indeed grateful through these series of lessons. I'm also very grateful for many of you talking to me this morning. Several of you said, "Neil, quit apologizing. We know that you love this group immensely." And my apologies this morning for my lesson was not for truth, but I'm very conscientious about not using this pulpit as a weapon. And if that's the way it came across, that I am sorry for. But I am not sorry for preaching truth. And I appreciate many of you encouraging me to understand that this morning. It was funny. I wonder sometimes if Tate is listening to me. He's drawing. Doesn't seem like he's paying attention, but he came to the back very concerned, and he said to me, "Dad, you stepped on people's back and hit their toes this morning." He said, "Why did you say that?" And I told him, I was afraid that somebody might think that I was using the pulpit as a weapon. He said, "Daddy, don't worry about it." So I just appreciate those that are listening, young and old, to what I have to say when it pertains to God's Word. Rejoice, O young man, in your childhood or in your youth. That has been God's desire for young people from the very beginning. And we sometimes forget that. We as parents want our children to grow up long before they should. I know I've said this before, especially to my older girls. Start acting your age. They're only 9. And I forget that sometimes. You that have children, I know that you have forgotten that many times in your life as well. And right from the very start, I want us to understand and appreciate that. Children are a blessing from God. They're our heritage. It's what we pass down. And we need to handle our children firmly, yes, but also delicately. If I've learned nothing through these series of lessons, I've learned that. To have a firm hand, but also have my arms open wide to my children. To make myself available to them whenever they need me. And I've also come to appreciate, it's not just my children that need that. It's the others in this local congregation as well. And so I've said this right from the very start. Whether you have children or don't have children, these lessons are very much applicable to you. There's much that you can do to aid in the rearing of the children in this group. And I appreciate so much those of you that are on and on board with me in raising children. I've said this before. It's amazing. Several years ago, all my children sat with us. And now we go through a service. We're lucky to get all five that sit with us. And with that, I appreciate those that let my children sit with you. But I am at the front of the building and I see them and there's expectations. And I want them to sit quietly. I want them to pay attention. And I'm very grateful that I have experienced this family relationship that we should have here at Greenwood. Thank you for allowing my children to sit with you. And thank you for following my guidelines in rearing my children as they sit with you as well. I have high expectations for my kids, and so does God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to go back there and study this text a little bit more before we close this series of lessons out in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to read a couple of verses for you again. In verse 1 beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 6, again, high expectations God has for His children. It should be no different for us. I have high expectations for my children, but I also understand their children. Now this is the commandment, that these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God had commanded you to teach you, and you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. That you, that's speaking about the older generation, no doubt as we talk about this generation, we're talking about the grandparents in the group. I want us to know from the very start, the children had passed through, many had lost their lives because of the consequences of their actions, and probably the oldest in the bunch would be grandparents. And there would be very few grandparents at this time. But we find, however, them being listed here, that you, the grandparents, may fear the Lord God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you. And you and your sons, and here comes into play the parents, right? These are the sons and daughters of the grandparents. And we're going to find yet another generation talked about in just a moment from now, and that would be the children. And so we have three generations listed here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me continue to read here. And your sons and your grandsons and all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of our fathers had promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. We talked about that this morning. And these words which I have that I command you today shall be in your hearts. In your hearts, up here, not here, but in your heart. You're constantly thinking about them and meditating about them. You shall teach them to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build. Here comes the blessings in all this. There's been much suffering and heartache, a lot of death that has taken place. But things are about to change for these three generations of people. Life is going to get real good for them. This promise that was made many years prior to this is now coming into play. And they're going to have these big, large cities, as is described to us. It goes on to say, houses full of all the good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, life is going to be great. Those of you that are grandparents, what is the most special times in your life? You think about that for just a second. Last night at our Bible study, Mr. Birdie held up his phone with a picture on it. Do you know who it was? It was his grandson. And he's hoping for great times and memories to be established too long from now. This would have been the same joy that would have been experienced with this generation here. They've been through the heartaches, the pains, but they're about to receive the promised land. And grandparents are about to watch grandchildren eat and be full. Children excited about life. The promises of God's blessings flowing down upon them. Things are about to get real good for God's people. But notice this verse. Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. In the good, we must always be aware of Satan and how he will use the good to keep us from glorifying God as we should. And that goes from older, whether we're speaking about grandparents, to young people today, to which we'll study about. What you do today, what you determine to do today as a grandparent, affects your grandchildren. Do you know that? The choices you make as a grandparent affects your children and your grandchildren. Recently, and I'll paint a picture and a scenario to us, we laugh about this because I know it's not true. I've seen Heather's dad in action, but Mara said, "Papa doesn't spank very hard." I wonder why. He does spank hard, and it would hurt a lot. I've seen some of the grandchildren shed tears. You see, when things are good, we fail to recognize our part in God's scheme of redemption, of raising children to fear God, and sometimes that means discipline. And that's what in Deuteronomy we find. In the good, beware. Discipline your bodies. Bring them in subjection. When you reap all the good, that you don't forget who God is and His position in your life. And so we talk tonight about the teen years. Ecclesiastes is a wise man's journal. I appreciate so much so many of the thoughts of wisdom that Wilson Adams presents to us. Many of the thoughts that I'll present tonight come from Wilson Adams. Some of them come from Gary Sandusky, and some of them from other men, too many to list tonight. But I will be resting heavily upon those two individuals throughout this series of lessons, and for good reason. They've raised God-fearing children. They are very much active. Their children are very much active in the kingdom of God. And so who better to look to as far as earthly standards than these two men who preach the gospel and who have children that follow in those footprints. Ecclesiastes is a wise man's journal. You want to get wise, you want to seek and find wisdom, guess which book you need to go to? Ecclesiastes. You need to spend some time in this book. It teaches us much about wisdom, and for good reason. The writer was one that lived life to the fullest. Anything that this writer dreamed of, that's which he found himself enjoying. He experienced all. He had done all. And at the end of it, he shares a little bit about life. In verse 13 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. This book is filled with wisdom from beginning to end. So Ecclesiastes tells the young people to enjoy life. But not just the young, but enjoy life at every stage. You might have noticed in the beginning slide, Mr. Ben went a couple of verses prior to that. That's because in our discussion, I said we don't often talk about 7 and 8. We usually just jump right to verse 9. But there's much wisdom found in verse 7. Truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold. Isn't that so true? For us that are younger in years, and I count myself and those younger, we just kind of take for granted that we're going to wake up the next day. My little son, Tate, must have some idea that I'm going to die at a young age. He came up to bed. They were all outside playing with snakes and frogs and everything else on our land today. But Tate found himself in my bed crying. He said, "Daddy, are you going to die?" We had the same conversation not long ago. But for some, he must have an idea that I'm going to die at a young age. "Daddy, when you die, is Mama going to take care of us?" Well, I hope so. Those of you that are older understand this concept found in verse 7. Truly, the light is sweet. It's sweet, and it's pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. How many of your grandparents enjoy sitting down, having the sun on your face, and watching your grandchildren play? Is that not a precious moment in your life? Something you enjoy immensely. You see, but if we don't pay attention to this verse, and we just simply jump into verse 9, and we say, "Well, rejoice, young man, we might think, "Well, this only applies to young people." But just prior to this, it's no doubt that the writer of Ecclesiastes is addressing this idea of rejoicing at every stage that we find ourselves in life. He says in verse 8, "But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity." You see, even at the old age, we are to rejoice, find good in the days. But the sobering reality of old age is, eventually, those bright days become dark, right? Just like what we find, Ecclesiastes writers goes into verse 9 and says the very same thing. Rejoice, young man. But then as we get to chapter 12, remember now the Creator in your youth before the difficult days come, right? Rejoice, be mindful of what's ahead. As an older person, rejoice, but be mindful of what is ahead for you as well. I love how the writer in Ecclesiastes does this. There's a lot of bad stuff going around in this world today. A lot of stuff for us to be involved with, both young and old. And his message in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7 is simply, try to look to the bright side of life and change. I've talked to several of you about this idea. The person that came up with the golden years must have been a young person, am I right? You don't understand what it's like to get advanced in age and the hardships that come. If not careful, that's all we dwell upon. And if not careful, what do? Woe to be young again. How many times have I heard that stated? Oh, to be young again. I'm going to get into this. Maybe you've forgotten about what it's like to be young and the hardships that come as a young person. Do you see what we do? I've had older people correct me, and I'll say, "Well, I can't wait till my kids can take care of themselves, where Heather and I can just leave and go out to dinner and not have to worry about the kids." And they'll tell me, "Be careful what you say, because those days will come quicker than you think." Well, the aged do the same thing the other way, right? They don't enjoy those days that they have. They complain, if I could just be younger. The writer in Ecclesiastes tells us whatever stage we're in, 30s, 40s, 50s, advance beyond that, enjoy your days. Because difficult days will truly come, where you won't find any pleasure at all. And so I just want us right from the very start to be aware of that. It's not just a lesson pertaining to young people. It applies to all of us. One of the things I've also come to appreciate in life is the grass is always greener on the other side. I've got some chickens now. We did have 15. We've got 14 now. And my chickens do the same thing. They've got grass that they can chew upon inside their little penned-in area. But you know what they always do? They take their necks and stick them through the fence onto the grass that's outside. It's the same grass on the inside of the fence. I believe sometimes we're like those chickens. We always see life greener on the other side. I mentioned this just a second ago. The younger generation, what do we say? Speak to your young people in your home. Those, as we're talking about, those in the teenage years, what do they tell you? Well, I can't wait till I get out of the house, where I can make my own decisions and do this and do that. Right? Your young people say that? Maybe they don't. Maybe you're the oddball in the group. But I've talked to many of you about this age frame that you're going through, and many say the same thing. They can't wait till they get a little older, till they get out on their own. On the other hand, what do we do as the older generation? We talked about that just a second ago, didn't we? You see, we desire to be young. Not long ago, as Tate was sitting with one of the older generation in this group, I believe it was Tate, he reached up and started playing with this person's chin. And he said, "You ought to get that fixed," as it was wiggling back and forth. He doesn't have to deal with that. He's young. His skin's tight. You see, and so if not careful, we don't have the proper perspective of the stage that we're in life. Older generation, have you forgot about what acne's like? The awkwardness of growing up and your voice is changing. The difficulties you experienced in school. I hated algebra. And I'm glad I'm not back in school having to deal with that. I was fond of chemistry and other different things, but I hated, yes, Nick, I hated, Becky, math. It was my worst subject. I don't long to go back there. I enjoyed that stage in my life, and I'm enjoying being a father now. And I look forward to, hopefully, if God allows me, to holding grandchildren in my arms down the road. Way down the road. A long, long time down the road. Brethren, we've got to enjoy the stage that we're in this life. Ask a teenager who's 13 and a half how old he is, and you know what he'll always say? "I'm almost 14. Ask somebody that's advanced in age. Ask Heather how much older she is than me, and she'll tell you 3 years, 11 months, 27 days, and a few hours. Why do we do that? Are we not happy and proud of where we're at in life? Wisdom comes with the gray hairs, and we should be proud with whatever stage we're at in life. Do you know what the third leading cause of death is for a teenager? It's changed over the years. And before we, as the older generation, say, "I wish I was a little bit younger. I wish my skin didn't have as many wrinkles." Understand that the kids now face pressures in society that maybe they did not experience to the extent that they do now. The third leading cause of death in teenagers is suicide. Why is that? It's because they face pressures. It's not an easy time. So before you're quick to say, "I wish I was a little bit younger," be content with where you're at in life today. Be happy now. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. Let's get into this idea this evening very quickly and close this lesson out. "Rejoice, O man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes." Did the writer of Ecclesiastes just say that? What's he saying there? Really, in essence, is what he's saying is enjoy life. Enjoy what you're looking at. Take advantage of it. Run with it. Experience all that you can experience on this side of eternity. Now, there is boundaries, as we'll talk about tonight. But enjoy life. Stretch yourself. Follow your impulses of your heart. These are good. And the Bible, yes, truly just said that. You know, so often as parents we're saying, Don't follow the impulses of your heart. Think before you jump into things. And those are all accurate and true. But let's understand and appreciate what the writer is trying to say to the young. Go, do it, enjoy it, pursue it, be happy. I wonder why the suicide rate has jumped so drastically. We keep trying to push God out of everything. And we see the results, don't we? God wants our young people to be happy. We should want our young people to be happy. Solomon, in essence, is saying, hey, you only live once. Enjoy this special time in your life. As a young person, enjoy it. Be happy. And for good reason. When young people are in the room, where do we find our eyes turning to? Do we not turn to them? Do we not focus on what they're doing, what they're experiencing? Sometimes we don't allow our children to be children anymore. I'm there. I've mentioned this several times, and I'm very aware of it, and I'm trying to change. I'm one of those helicopter parents. I'm over top of them. I see them walking towards a curb that they might trip over. Guess what I feel I need to say? Be careful. There's a curb coming up. It's 5 feet from you. Wait now, it's 3 feet. You're about to step on it. That's me, and I understand that about me. I want them to grow up and be God-fearing children. And what I sometimes forget is that they are children. Ecclesiastes reminds me of this. Children are to have fun. They're to have a blast. They're to enjoy things. They're to get after it, to enjoy these days that God has blessed them with. Why? Because those difficult days will come. They'll eventually get upon them. They'll eventually have to grow up. But the writer teaches us, keep our children as young, as long as we can. Yes, I have done my best to keep my hand upon Isabel's head, but she is still growing like a stinkweed. They will grow, and they will grow fast. But help them to enjoy life. We're going to talk about this as we close this lesson out this evening. What are some ways that we can help our children enjoy life? What are some things that we can do as parents to help them fulfill what the writer of Ecclesiastes instructs them to do? Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. How can we help them do that? Well, as I stated before, I'm not sure. I'm still flaring around like a fish out of water trying to figure all those things out. But thankfully, there are others that have figured that out. And I want to share those thoughts with you tonight. There are three things that our children must know and understand as they rejoice in their youth. The first thing is that they are accountable to God. And here we go. I'm losing, as I've looked, Dylan's paying attention. I see the young people, they're paying attention tonight. But this is where I might lose them. Oh, here you go. You've told us to have fun. They've been probably wanting to poke their parents. Are you listening to Neil tonight? I'm to have fun. I'm to pursue my heart. I'm to have great old time in this life. And now he's done blown it. You are accountable to God. God inserts enough warning in this text to make us aware that, yes, there are boundaries even in rejoicing. Can I read it to you and you pay close attention this evening? Verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, as I've read a couple of times already, for good reason. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But here it is. Here's the kicker. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. You see, there are boundaries, aren't there? Rejoice, be happy, but understand there are boundaries. Too many young people, in their drive for self-gratification, forget this in their life. They go through life and they pursue their heart without any thought about how God would want them to live their life. And they fail to fulfill their responsibilities to God. And before too long, they are given over to things that control their life. They become imbalanced because life is all about fun. Their bodies begin to be burned out because of all the fun that they've enjoyed in this life. And they age well beyond their years. You see, that's a life without balance. Parents, you want to help your children rejoice in the days of their youth. Set the boundaries, establish them, and keep them firm. I remember taking my kids, our oldest girls, bowling one time. And the lady asked us, do we want to put the bumpers up? And I remember the first time saying no, and I made the mistake. And I said, next time we come, the bumpers are going up, which we did. And they had a whole lot more fun when the boundaries were up. Do you know why? Because the ball would go all the way down the lane. Without the bumpers, guess where they would go? Into the gutters. No pins would fall. You see, that's how we are and should be as parents. Set a goal. The goal is joy and fulfillment in this life. We want our children to rejoice in their youth, experience all they can in their youth, but set those boundaries so they don't get off track and get their life in the gutter and make their life a mess before their life has really, truly even began. With freedom, we find many young people hanging themselves. They sow their wild oats to the extremes. And God is very plain in this. Galatians 6 and verse 7 teaches us that there will be a harvest. The writer in Ecclesiastes teaches us in verse 9 and the latter verses, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. God's not trying to take the fun or enjoyment out of a young person's life, but He's doing His very best to keep it there where it needs to be. And so should we as parents. I challenge us as young families. I'm very open to do this, but maybe you're not. Maybe this lesson will be one of the lessons that will help you understand and appreciate that you don't have it figured out. Reach out to some of the aged in this group. We've got some men in this group that have raised God-fearing children, whose children are still very much faithful and active in the service of God. Reach out to them. Ask them what they've done. How did they set those boundaries up to keep their children happy and rejoicing all through their life, even with the challenges and difficulties that have come through marriage and having children? How do they remain faithful? What did you do to make that happen? What boundaries, what bumpers did you set up in your life? You see, one of the great goals as a parent is to help our children experience verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. We've been foster parents. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of children that have never truly experienced joy. And that's sad. May that not be the fact and reality in your life as you raise your children. Now, I've said this before. Raising children is hard. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. And sometimes we focus so much on the negative that we forget they are a blessing from God. And God expects every day to be new and fresh and exciting. And that's hard sometimes when we have children. What is one of the other responsibilities that young people have? I like some of the translations. Mine doesn't render like this, but it does give us the opposite of this. Remove vexation from your heart. What in the world does that mean? That's not a word that we often use. The idea of vexation there means anger or resentment. You see, one of the leading causes of death with our young people is suicide. Do you know where that starts? Anger. And that trickles into resentment. And then when that happens, when you have anger and resentment together, you have rebellion. And when you have rebellion, you have a child that is not pleasing to God and definitely not bringing you happiness in their life, and a child who is not happy themselves. You see, we get that out of whack today. We think the way to make our children happy is to give them everything they want. And we find fathers and mothers who are running from this to that, to this to that, stressed out, wondering how they're going to get to all these events that their children are in all along to make their children happy, and their children are not happy. Matter of fact, some of those that are given everything become the most angry. Those that are filled with the most resentment, because whenever they reach an age, they begin to realize their life has been filled with a bunch of things instead of family time. Wilson Adams says this: If I could say anything to the young, it would be this. Love your parents. They may do things to embarrass you. You may think them to be old-fashioned. You may have even decided that they don't know of anything in life. They aren't perfect. And Wilson Adams says this, as a young person, neither are you. But by large, your parents want what's best for you. Give them a chance. And give them another chance. And I would say, a chance after that, and another chance after that chance has been used up. He also goes on to say, and remember this fact, they aren't going to be around forever. Make the most of the opportunities to enjoy them. Spend time with them. Things will be much easier for you, for them, and for everyone. Remove vexation from your life. Parents, it's one of our duties. Young people, this is one of the things that Ecclesiastes tells you to do. Remove anger, remove resentment from your life. If you don't, you will be rebellious. I think that's why I'm after my children so much. I've found a new way of dealing with my twin boys. I can't remember the term that I use, but I call it the get-along shirt. That's what I call it. It's one of my old shirts. It's got one place where your head goes through. I put it on them and two heads pop through that one hole. One gets one arm, one gets the other, and they've got to sit there and enjoy each other. It works better than a spanking, and it works better than a timeout. Whatever it takes, whatever you can do to help your child remove anger and resentment from their life, do it now while they're young, because when they're old, when they get in those teen years, and all these horrific stories that parents tell me about these teen years, if we work hard at a young age, we can limit those opportunities for them to be rebellious and cause heartache and pain. The Provines, you got a lot of kids. I've got a lot of kids. I look around. There's a lot of kids in this group. We need to learn this lesson. The teenagers in this group, love your parents. If you're a teenager, they're getting up in years. They're not going to be around forever. Be mindful of that. Rejoice in your youth, but be mindful what's waiting around the corner. And lastly, and very quickly, there's this idea that we find in the Ecclesiastes writer writes to us in verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. Put away evil from your flesh. Some other translation says, put pain away from your body. Isn't that so true? That's so true. Think about today. We've got a lot of teachers in this group. What seems to be a concern with our teachers today and what the children are doing to their bodies? Alcohol, drugs. Young people be involved in sex way before they should. Way before they should, because they're not married. And we find some heavy consequences coming out of this. Not long ago, I read a true life story about an individual that was 17 years old that used a new drug that's found amongst our young people. And guess what happened to that young 17-year-old with all the days before him, all the promise? This was a talented athlete, had so much potential to excel in this life. 4.0 student, the sky was the limit for this young man. Took a harmful drug, and it took his life. Sure, if I went around the room and asked you, you could probably tell me 10 other stories that follow right behind this one. You see, there are things that will hurt our children. I told Heather just not long ago, I was watching the news in India, and there's this new drug going around that looks like a candy. And matter of fact, it's, I can't remember, Skittles or something of that nature, but it's laced with a drug. So I told Heather, we've got to tell our children now, don't eat other kids' candies. Where is this world going? You see, if there's ever a time for us to be mindful of putting away pain from our children's bodies, it's now. We have to be aware of so much more now as a parent. We try to talk to our children. What do they say? Well, that's never going to happen to me. It's never going to happen to me. It will. If we're casual about it, it will. I want to close with this verse here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, as I wind this lesson down, it's going to come to an end very abruptly. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 22, it says this, "Flee also youthful lust." Doesn't that fit in so perfectly with what we're talking about tonight? "But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Draw a line in the sand. Young people, draw a line in the sand when it comes to this idea of drugs. Draw a line in the sand when it comes to this idea of alcohol. Draw a line in the sand when we're talking about premarital sex. If there's anything that we should be able to learn through the events of the last couple of years here at Greenwood, is there are consequences. There are tremendous consequences for having sex before you're married. Young people, when are we going to learn this? Life is not just all about fun. Getting a disease or becoming pregnant outside of marriage is not glamorous. It's hard. Talk to some of the young parents in this audience tonight. How hard it is and how difficult it is to go through this. Young people, listen up. Have fun. Enjoy life. That's what God wants for you. But remember, there are boundaries. There are lines in the sand. And you need to pay attention to those. I did say I was going to close with that, but let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. And in verse 1. "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years not draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" If you're a young person, that's not you, is it? Life is fun right now. Very fun for you, probably. Unless you're those ones that experience the idea of bullying. Unless you're somebody that's involved with drugs or alcohol. Lest you're a young person involved with premarital sex, then life isn't so fun for you. There's hardships that come with those choices, difficulties that come with those choices. Remember that. In your pursuit of happiness, remember, God knows who you are, and He knows what's best for you. And He knows what boundaries you need in your life to be happy. Don't buck against that. Don't get angry about that, but submit to it. And life will be wonderful. You'll have your ups and downs, but life will be truly full of happiness in spite of the difficulties that come your way. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I hope tonight, as a young person, that you'll think about your life, where you stand in the presence of God. Your life is set before you. And if you're allowed to live another 80 years, think about all the days in between now and then. All the different experiences that you'll have in your life. Don't hinder those wonderful experiences with bad decisions today and now. Be conscientious about God's way and being pure in all aspects of life so that life can be a joy to you and those around you. Being a parent is not easy. It's difficult because at the end of the day, you know the choices your children need to make. And the choices they make isn't often the choices that you would make. And there's a hard balance in there trying to figure out how to get those all meshed together so that our children are happy and not filled with anger and resentment and rebellion. If you're here tonight, I humbly ask of you to evaluate your life, as I've already stated a couple of times. As a young person, evaluate your life. See where you stand with God Almighty. Not with your friends, not with those peers that you keep, but with God Almighty. Are you happy tonight? Can you truly say that you have a peace that surpasses all understanding? Your friends are upset. They're not happy. Life's not going so good for them. And maybe that's where you are, and you want something different in your life. I will tell you, you have to come to Jesus to get to that place in your life. You have to come to Him. And not come to Him with half your heart, but all of your heart. Are you ready to do that tonight? I hope and pray that you are. We're going to sing a song, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" That's not happened in your life. There's a more convenient time to make that happen than now. God wants you to be happy. Your parents want you to be happy. I hope and pray that you want to be happy yourself. If you want that, the only truly way to make that happen is to be a Christian and live in the presence of God. Commit yourself to Him tonight. Are you here and you're a Christian and have not been living right? There's no more acceptable time to take your shortcomings to Him than here and now. We serve an awesome, loving God who, yes, has established boundaries in our life, but desires for us as Christians to be happy. And maybe in the pursuit of that and the freedom of that, you've done something that's brought reproach upon God's name and maybe even upon this church here. If that's you tonight, ask God for forgiveness. Come, let us pray with you. Make that confession that you realize you've done things selfishly in accordance to your way, and you brought reproach upon God's people. And then get your chin back up and start serving Him with all your heart. Because at the end of the day, young or old, as we've established tonight with Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 7 and 8, whatever stage you are in life, God desires for you to be at peace and filled with happiness. Is there a burden you've got to get rid of tonight? Do so tonight. Don't say tomorrow. Don't say next week, because those days might never come for you. You have now. You have the opportunity now. Won't you take your burdens to the Lord? Let Him heal you. He longs to do it. If we can help you in any way, come to the front or raise your hand while we stand.